So here we are, worldwide live online through BBS Radio. Thank you all to those people that are joining in online, listening to the call tonight. This is the questions answered tonight, and the announcement email is out. We have questions on the email. We have more people joining in. Every time you hear a ding, that somebody else calling in on the conference call. I welcome those people. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Cleo from Connecticut.
Hello, Cleo. Welcome to the call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. I believe...
Hi, Shirley from Seward, Alaska.
Hello, Shirley. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. And another caller joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
It's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Good evening to you, Don. Thanks for being here.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Dr. Friedman from Phoenix.
Uncle Terry, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for being here again.
Okay.
Hi, Dr. Friedman.
All right.
What's the first question, Heis?
Let me go back to it.
Did I have a bad experience on a Ouija board?
No.
That was one of them. And the other one is, how can I find a spiritual master?
Oh, okay.
That was the first question. We had more people join in on the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Wynn.
Hey, Wynn. Good evening to you.
Well, good evening to you.
Thank you so much.
Is Terry here?
There are two Terrys, but not our...
I'm here, Wynn.
Oh, Terry. Terry Friedman.
Uncle Terry.
Hi, Terry. Uncle Terry, thank you for correcting me.
Terry's here. We've got two.
But we don't have Terry Brown here.
Correct.
What's the matter with her?
Las Vegas.
Hello, John. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
Thank you for being here. More people joined in. We welcome you all. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Marilyn, Oxford, Michigan.
Hi, Marilyn. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you, hi.
All right. You're welcome.
You know, I called Terry up just before this show. Hang on a second. Let me call her again.
All right. So I welcome all the people that are joining in online through BBS Radio. Thank you for being here. It is 6 o'clock right now, and we are getting lined up to make this call a reality and having the questions answered.
Wait. Everybody hears you, Terry.
Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Marshall from Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Marshall. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Yes, fantastic. And welcome to the next call. Please say your name and location.
Hi.
Hi, Terry. Good evening. Thank you so much for being here. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
All right.
Morgan in California.
Good
Morgan,
evening, Morgan.
Hi.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Hope everybody's well. Suzanne in Columbus. Thanks, hi.
Who is this in Columbus?
Suzanne.
Suzanne, hi, Suzanne. Welcome to the call.
Thanks, hi.
All right.
It's Sedona is here. Oh, hi. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Jim. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. I need to stop greeting people. The last one. Thank you so much for being here. Please say your name and location.
It's Roger.
Hey, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hey, Chris and Roger. Welcome to the call.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, another day, man. Ready to start.
Yeah, man.
All right. I am back.
All right, then. I'm going to mute the ding initially.
Is Terry Brown here?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Call in again. All right, we have the entry and exit signs are off, so let's mute the lines. Here we go.
All callers are muted.
And Wynn, I give the mic to you.
Okay. Is Terry Friedman unmuted? Probably not. Terry,
hold on 1 second. I can take care of that. Here he is. Uncle Terry.
Unmuted.
We hear you now.
We hear you.
Good.
Hey, Terry.
Yes?
Before we start our normal questioning, if you would like to, why don't I ask you a question about the life of Jesus?
Okay, go ahead.
I didn't think of a question yet, okay? Oh. So just a second.
No problem. When you think of one, let me know.
Well, I'm going to think of one. I got to think fast, okay?
Is she recording already, Wynn?
Oh, yeah. Okay, let me start the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
This is October 29th, 2014. Winfrey and Terry Brown in Arizona with Terry Friedman in Arizona. Hi's in Regalia and all of you everywhere. And most of you know this, but I'll just mention it, that we have someone who's an honored guest and it shows up on our calls, Terry Friedman, who wrote a book called The Man Who Walked with Jesus. And Terry believes, and he's convinced me, I think it's true, that he is the reincarnation of Matthew, Jesus' chief scribe, who did the book of Matthew. And Jesus had come to Terry some years ago and said, listen, I'd like you to write a book and kind of set some of the record straight. And then Jesus helped Terry to have direct memory of that life, where waking up his own memories, and he wrote a book called The Man Who Walked with Jesus, which most people who have read it, particularly people who come with a Christian background, it's kind of mind-blowing because it has a great resonance with what I call the Christ of energy, which I believe we're working with that energy on this line and in our group. And to me, the Christ of energy is unity consciousness, where we tap in to this place where we are all connected. We are energetically, we have a oneness. And even though we're also all separate, we're all in physical bodies, we're also simultaneously together. But that's something that you have to integrate. You can't just believe it. It's not like you're saying, okay, we're all together, we're going together. Those of you that are coming to our calls often have learned to identify that energy. And you could call it unity consciousness. You could call it the Christ of energy. And I believe that Jesus was able to... It's not like you manifest it. I'm not manifesting it. Terry's not manifesting it. We are all manifesting it. I'm kind of like the guide going through it. But it takes each of us to go through, and you can't even do it logically. It's totally nonlinear, but it happens all the time. And sometimes miracles happen. And I think Jesus was an extreme manifester of that Christ, what we're calling the Christ energy. And Terry walked around with Jesus and has memories of what it was like. And he also knows from his experience and memories that Jesus was a human. he was not like a, how would you say it? I don't know. I would say he wasn't an exalted in the sense that he was God walking around in a body, like you were supposed to defer to him. He was exalted because he was able to catalyze unity consciousness wherever he went. And when you have unity consciousness, you can have ending of reality because you get the energy of the universe and working with you to cause things to shift down here. And we've explained this many times, as much as the logical mind can understand it, which it really can't. But for as much as it can understand, I would say our realm, the physical universe, as solidified as it looks and appears and gives the illusion of, is made up of frequencies. And the frequencies all originate in other dimensions. And that when we create a unity consciousness, we start tapping in to the frequencies that are precursors to the physical realm. And so the physical realm then can shift because the frequencies that make up the physical realm shift. And so that's like where you think of someone and they call you, or you have a synchronicity. And so that Jesus said, these things I do, you can do and more. So it's all about, in my way of understanding it, the tapping in to the higher dimensions that manifest as a very solidified physical reality. And I, since Terry is on the line, he comes in on Wednesdays, I'm going to try to remember to just ask him one question about the life of Jesus, and I'm going to ask him, Terry, here's my question for the day. I didn't have a question. I just came up with a question. The question is, how does your understanding match what I just said?
Oh, very close. Very, very similar, yes. Jesus, of course, we refer to him as our rabbi. And we referred to him, we spoke to him in a way that was definitely, you might say, courteous and defining his role as a teacher. And we also knew that he was the Son of God. But he, as I said before, he continually told us, do not, even if people ask, that if I, whether or not I am the Messiah, please do not tell them I am. I choose not to be looked at in that way. That may interfere with my teaching, may interfere with the people we meet along the way. So, yes, he was a humble man, although he had great knowledge and knew the things that would really come from heart, from his heart, to our heart, and all the people that was we would meet along the way. He had a very, very powerful message. And, of course, I was drawn to him because of certain events that happened in my life and because he was indeed a person I felt magnetically attracted to. I just couldn't stay away from him. It was impossible for me not to wish to follow him when he asked, although I had no idea of that prior to our meeting. I had no doubt or very little knowledge of Fay once he told me that I should follow him. But he's a very humble, but very brilliant, wise man. And we consider it, or right, considered him our rabbi. And that's the way it was.
Thank you. When you went to follow him, did you do it like on the first meeting? You just met him and said, I'm out of here?
Well, you know, I had a lot of events, a lot of things to deal with. So I first met him, he said, Matthew, I want you to, he gave me instructions, Matthew, I want to have you follow me and be part of my group. And he said, this is my desire. And I said, yes, yes, I'll do it. However, I needed to clear up some things because, as you know, I was a tax collector for Rome. And there were certain things I needed to do. And one of the things I needed to do was something he asked me, which was to give back all the money that I had in my ability to do, that I had this money to give back to the people. Now, what had gone on before, what I had taken, the taxes I had taken before, that was already given to Rome, so not much I could do, but everything I had done up to that point, I gave it back to the people I took it from. So that was one of my jobs. So it was several days before I could actually join him in another town.
Mm-hmm. Hey, tell me, Terry, were tax collectors as popular then as they are now?
probably less so. And the reason was, we were collecting taxes for a country who was actually domineering another civilization. So not only were we the tax collector, but we were doing this for Rome, which controlled and dominated and called the shots for everything that the Israelites did.
Kind of like the United States when it first started, and everyone had to pay taxes to England.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Similar to that.
Okay, thank you so much. Listen, when you come into the calls, I'm going to try to ask some question, or even if people send me a question, I'll ask the question they sent me about the life of Jesus. Particularly directed towards that.
And that'll be fine.
That'll be great. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's. Terry Brown, are you there?
I'm here. Yes.
I'm just doing a mute survey. All right. Mm-hmm. We are ready to start. And here we go. I'm just looking at the questions tonight. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each one of us, and that any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. This is for on. And also with this comes the whole, the one. And we are precursors to light. We are not the light. And the light comes with the interaction of two sources, you and us. Together, we create the light. And the light has our frequency that we are generating with it. So you see, if your perception can extend, we are light pink in color. And we are not the light. We are generating a presence that interacts with a presence or a group of presences in the third density, creating together light. We hope that that sheds some light upon our interaction. And we are here, and we are generating light. Do you have questions?
Yes. This is from Isabel Gabriel, and she, I believe, lives in Sedona, because she's talking about Dry Creek Road, which is in Sedona. And I'm going to ask her question, but I'd like to layer another question on top of her question, which relates to her question, which generalizes the question. And my question is
concerning a particular location on Dry Creek Road?
Yes. Well,
okay.
She had an accident, a car accident, on Dry Creek Road. And I'll read her question exactly, but the general tone of her question is that many people think when something happens like that, like they had a car accident, that it has a cosmic significance. They're supposed to learn something from it. And the question, you know, my question, don't answer my question yet. I'll ask it again. But my question is, when things like that happen, do they have a cosmic significance? Or are they just somewhat serendipity? I'm sure sometimes it's both, but maybe you can address that. So here's her question. What am I to learn from the car accident I was in this last Monday of October 20th at around 10:30 p.m. on Dry Creek Road, where I swerved out of the way of a possum, losing control of the vehicle, and totaled my boyfriend's car, hitting a telephone pole? I was the only one in the car and had minor bruises and seatbelt rashes, but I'm otherwise in good spirits, healthy and safe. I feel there is always something to learn from everything, and I'm a bit stumped with this one. Was I supposed to learn something?
Thank you. Give us a moment. Just briefly, we have come across in the same week another incident on Dry Creek Road in a location that is not too far from the library. We see that times there are interferences that come in, and one can sense these interferences. There used to be many animals that got in the way on highways, and many animals were killed. Now there are less animals than there were. When you are in a situation that requires fast thinking, immediate reaction, then one of the lessons to learn is in the haste, an automatic reaction, that if someone or something is in the way, such as an animal, that it is potentially possible that if you were to kill the animal, that that may have a better outcome than to avoid the animal and put your own self or your vehicle into intense danger. This is unacceptable as an outcome to some, so your reaction brought you through. The lesson we see to learn is when you are in an area where there may be animals on the road, to be extra aware and to go a little bit slower, to turn your eyes on if it is possible, and to be totally in present time so that you are able to slow or go around. In some circumstances, it is impossible to avoid something happening, an outcome that you do not wish. Do not feel guilty about the unwanted outcome here. For, aside from going slowly and being super aware, you came upon those circumstances and handled it the best way that you automatically thought of. So our recommendation is, in the future, where there is an area of animal traffic or potential animal traffic, for instance, south of Sedona, in the area where it is marked or deer, to be super sensitive and aware and go a little slower. in the third density realm, there are things, outcomes, that are non-optimal. And another lesson is to learn to be in present time, to do the best with them you can, and to set them aside and move on in the present moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, this is from Cleo in Connecticut. Cleo in Connecticut. And I'm going to answer. We've covered this in different places in the past. So I'm going to make a quick answer, and then I'll turn it over to our sources and see if there's anything new or anything to correct. Please ask the Elohim, when we die and go to the light, besides deceased relatives, are we greeted by the spiritual figures we believed in life? Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad. And what about those who have been atheists or agnostic? Who greets them? And so let me just give a quick answer here. And as far as on the history of our past track of questions, when we die, we go to the astral. Most of us, or maybe with some, there is something else that happens. But most of us go to the astral, and it seems like we feel fairly alone, and we can travel around the planet in the astral and look at people and go to places we've been, hang out with people. And then there's this opportunity to go into what they call a tunnel of light. And somehow that's offered to you by angelic forces. I don't know if there's always a being there or if you just feel the energy of it. They can clarify that. And when we do that, we go through, we move out of the astral, we move into higher dimensions. At which point, in those higher dimensions, you can be worked with by angelic forces, perhaps parts of the Elohim, part of the Ra group, to help heal some of the traumas that you went through while you're in the earth, and assuming you need to be healed. There's also a heaven realm where we can meet people that we've known in past lives and in this life, and hang out with them for a period of time, maybe a long period of time. And then if you have anchored yourself in high enough levels, then you may not have to come back and reincarnate again. And if you haven't, you will. And you may be in a place where you don't have to come back and reincarnate, but you would choose to because you want to be of service down here. And higher beings that come back into this realm are very, very important. Otherwise, nothing would be here to support the evolution of the humans on this realm. So that is another thing to add. I've heard this, and I asked this to our sources at different times. And this way I heard it, that people who believed they were going to be greeted by Jesus. Now, some other time, Terry Friedman can make his comment on this because he may have a different idea. But actually got stuck in the astral waiting for Jesus to show up because the body of Jesus didn't show up. But probably Jesus does show up for some people, but I never had that answer, so they can say that. So on that level, Are we greeted? I'll repeat the question. Are we greeted by the spiritual figures we believed in life, Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad? What about those who have been atheists or agnostics? Who greets them? Thank you.
Thank you. Each individual has a certain group of frequencies that they are generating. They have people that they believe in. They have friends that they have known. And they have masters that they have believed in, which are part and parcel of the frequencies that are surrounding them. And those frequencies that they are generating connect them with Jesus, or connect them with Buddha, or connect them with the people that they love. And so, in a sense, all is one, and they are expressing those frequencies. So right there in present time, those frequencies connect them with the frequencies of the master or the one that they love. And they are monitored to see if they need help, if they need guidance, and if they're up to receiving it, then they can be given guidance when they transition, and they can be guided to the tunnel of light, or they can be guided out of their disorientation and into the higher frequency, so they're able to transition smoothly and find their level of light that they are able to relate to and to be greeted at that level of light by their master or by their relatives or both.
And how about people that are atheists or agnostics in their earthbound life?
If they, wherever they are at, within their belief system, which can be complex and can be individual and customized to the person, then this can be a guidance system, or is a guidance system, for who or what they will connect with. They may still connect with the heavenly realm. It is like a person has senses of sight and hearing and sound and feeling and touch. So when they leave, if they still have senses and they still can connect with those individuals that can guide them. And it is amazing at times when a person leaves their body how suddenly open to direction they can become, even though they said they don't believe in any of it.
So what you believe in is not, there's other factors that are actually more important than your belief system while you're in this realm, you could say.
That is correct. Because they're beyond this third density realm, there are other senses, other factors. And they just may move right into it as they have seen people around them in the third density realm. And then when they leave, even though they didn't believe in God or afterlife, they find themselves in the afterlife and seeing those that they loved around them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Question from Tammy Andrews in Palm Desert. And her question is, can the Elohim and Ra group suggest a way to help recall past lives and relationships?
Dreams are a good way. See, if you have a dream that is a recurring dream, for instance, it can be just an ordinary dream of seeing a hedge and climbing a staircase and moving into a familiar room. And periodically they can have that dream again and again. And it may be a connection to a past life where they actually were climbing that staircase day after day and walking into that room. It can be a person that they dream about, that they loved in another life, and they keep seeing this vision of a loving mother or of a handsome man or of a walk. When somebody sees a scene that is the same place or location of some place they have been in a past life, maybe have lived there, then all of a sudden it's like deja vu. I've been here before. And one can pay attention to these things. Your memories are there for you to discover. Gurdjieff once said, you can start with just a little bit, maybe the memory of a day, and then a little bit more and a little bit more, expanding your memory until you discover there's more and more and more and more that you can discover. Sometimes when you first look at a memory, it seems like something you just made up out of thin air. But then as you put it together with more and more memories, it begins to go together like a puzzle and to make a full canopy of sense of a lifetime that was yours and is still yours, but you have moved now into another lifetime. Children, when they are very young, should not be discouraged about having memories or saying it's all illusion. There are other countries where it is okay for a child to say, you know, I used to live in the next town over, and I had a different mother and father. And memories oftentimes are simply poo-pooed out of existence. But the memories are there when one fans the flame of that memory, and it can come and become more and more full, filling in the puzzle of who you used to be.
Thank you. I wanted to tag another question on to Isabel's question about her car accident and the possum. In Native American, this is my question, in Native American cosmology, oftentimes certain animals, maybe all animals, but certain animals are always meant to be interpreted. Like I was sitting with someone recently who had Native American identification, and I think we saw two hawks flying by, and he said, that means this. What is the relationship of all that symbology, and how does that work?
Thank you. Can you still hear me?
I still hear you.
Okay. Hold on. We were very interested in your question about the accident on Dry Creek Road. Sedona is a very special place where there was much Indian imagery, much Indian participation in sacred rites. And recently on Dry Creek Road, there was another incident where the individual was confronted by another animal type image and has caused him disturbance, as it feels to him that the animal is haunting him. And this was before your accident. We would suggest that in areas such as Sedona, that some of these images can be conjured up from past sacred rites and we did not see that the possum was conjured up from a past sacred rite, but it is wise to be centered and to keep your wits about you and to stay in complete present time when you are driving, actually anywhere.
You know, I would like to make a comment that is, when you're actually shifting, when your consciousness is shifting, when you are about to be really successful, when something is about to happen, I have always seen that it's a very vulnerable moment because you're moving from the place where you are to some new place. And in that space, it's very easy for something negative, either from yourself or some other source or from negative energy from other people, to come in and sabotage the whole thing. It's like Paul Simon said, the nearer your destination, the more you're slip-sliding away. So it's very important when things are going good, like you think you fell in love, or you suddenly got a great job, or you're suddenly expecting a lot of money to come in, to be stay very centered and very, very attentive and diligent in monitoring yourself so you don't allow anything to screw it up, because it can screw up so easily because you're not grounded in the new place yet. It's kind of coming. It's in the astral, and like you have somebody that you love and you think it's going to be a partner, don't talk about it to other people. Hold the energy. Let it grow. Let it incubate. Just even talking about it can screw it up. It brings everyone's energies into it. So I just want to make that comment. Suzanne Reed, I remember playing with a Ouija board when I was very young, like 10 years old. I abruptly ended this activity when the board answered something so scary to me that I threw the board in the trash. I cannot for the life of me remember what was said, but I remember being quite frightened. Is there any chance that was a negative entity back then speaking to me? And could this same entity be plaguing me now as an adult?
That is possible in that once you have established contact, you have made a pathway for that entity to come and visit you again. We do see that entities, this particular entity that came through the Ouija board, was really upset at its situation. And in having lost most of its power because of its situation and being disconnected from the third density realm, so to speak, and being part to the sign, has been willful and set and seeking to regain some kind of control. Ouija boards for that reason, in connection with entities that have crossed over and may have not made it to the higher realm. Entities can be willful and can desire to take control as they have lost control. If someone is really in control, then they do not need to be willful about it. So we do see that there is a connection with that.
Thank you. And let me see. That's why it's not such a good idea to use Ouija boards. It's not such a good idea to be too ambitious about wanting to channel, because it takes a huge amount of positive intent on someone's part to be able to bring through messages from other dimensions and not get caught by something negative up there. You would, in my experience, you would not believe how many things that look positive end up being very compromised. Some of you, I mentioned this one time, and I'm just going to tell you to look up the facts here. I am not going to create an opinion. But look up A Course of Miracles and CIA, okay? Just do a Google on that and see what comes up. And I think you'll be really surprised what you find. Of course, if you don't know what The Course of Miracles is, it's a book that supposedly came from Jesus that was giving people guidance and giving them a code of things to follow that would theoretically take them to higher realms. And does it work? Did it work for you? Just don't even do this, okay? But if you've heard about it and wondered about it, look that up, because it's mind-blowing. And you know what? We had other really good questions. We had a really good question from Dharmananda that I wanted to ask, and we're running out of time. We had a good question from Kathleen Savoy. And so please submit them again next week. Dave Ferringer, you know, you're asking about a medical question there, and I'll send you something I know about that question from our experience, but it's not a good idea for me to ask medical-type questions on these calls, because we're not allowed to diagnose, we're not allowed to give that kind of advice, and we can get shut down. So don't ask that one again, because I won't include it, but you can ask me when. Can you tell me your experience? Because I do have experience, and I can share it with you, okay? And then Rich Buckley asked a good question here, which we don't have time for. And Don Herman asked a good question. Don, in the answer to your question, yes, there were advanced human societies before the arrival of the Anunnaki. Yes, there were. Some of them were actually Anunnaki advanced human societies. And in our questions, it's been indicated that there have been various times when there was destruction of life on this planet. So the current Anunnaki were responsible. Now, I'm not sure. There's a whole bunch of things I don't know. There may have been other seedings from other planetary populations, but I think the Anunnaki were the main. And William in Cork Creek, Ireland, yes, there are Elohim in physical embodiment, but because an Elohim is in a physical embodiment doesn't mean they're positive. A lot of Elohim, excuse me, guys who are listening, the Elohim, they know this is true. A lot of Elohim that come into this realm have a lot of power, and they're tempted to go negative, and they don't remember their Elohim oftentimes. It's just, you know, it's just the way it goes. And Lisa Gilbert in San Diego, ask your question again. I thank our listeners for being here. I hope we're still on BBS. And we will see you all Sunday, okay? And on that note...
It's only 6:52, man.
Oh, it's only 6:52.
Yes.
You know what? I switched computers, and my new computer has the wrong time. It says it's 6:59. That's why I'm screwing up. But what would I do without a producer, okay? Okay. But you know what? I'll ask one more question, okay? If that's okay. There was one question, the question from Dharmananda. Dharmananda, that's a question that has actually been addressed many times, but there's some interesting things in the answer. And the question is, will Yeshua return soon? If so, when? Now, way back when I was writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, the source that was speaking through David Wilcock said that the return really means the return of the Christ consciousness in all of us, or the potential of the Christed consciousness. It doesn't mean that Yeshua would return in a physical body. And it was indicated if he did, it would cause more problems than he would solve. Because how in the world would anyone know that he was who he said he was? And miracles probably wouldn't work, because even the negative can do miracles. And I mean, there's been people that do miracles, even now, that do phenomena. And miracles don't always mean that something comes from the highest of sources. The negative can do some miracles, and they know that miracles get people's attention. So how would you know Yeshua was Yeshua? And what church would own him, okay? And then here's another little side comment. When DK was channeling early on, and when all of this was like science fiction to me, which is not still like science fiction, except I've become comfortable with it, they said that there's a chance that Jesus was going to come through our group. And I didn't have a clue what that meant. And I certainly wasn't going to look for it. And then we end up having Terry Friedman here, and we have Terry saying Jesus is with him. And on the other side, and I don't know if that's what they were anticipating. I don't know if it was a negative source saying that, but that is what they said. And I didn't dare tell anybody. I still don't dare tell anybody, except I just told you. So it slipped through the cracks, just because the question. So Terry Friedman might be part of the fulfillment of that, but I don't know. Who knows? Jesus might decide to talk to us through Terry. Might. I don't know. But we'll see. We're all on this ride together, and I'm watching as well as you are. And let me ask our sources the question. Will Jesus, this will be our last question tonight. Well, let's see, what time is it? It is 6:56. Now we are running late. So we got about a minute for this question.
There's no show after us.
Oh, there isn't. Okay, well, we'll let them take their time if they want to. Will Yeshua return soon? If so, when? Dharmananda.
Thank you, Dharmananda. Yeshua is here. Yeshua is here with us now. He's here with us all. And if you mean if he's going to return in a particular body, then we would perhaps, if Terry is still on the line, to defer that question to Terry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you want to address that, Terry?
Well, I'll try as best I can. I got the feeling. They got two sets of what's going on. Number one, Yeshua was always very precise and wanted to fulfill the prophecies of the scriptures. And in one of the scriptures, they said that he would appear in the clouds at a specific time when he returned. So that's something to think about. On the other side of things, I understand that he will not be back in a physical body, that someone else's body will be used in his return. I've been given some names. Kuthumi is one. They actually represent the Christ in energy. And remember, somebody said, the energy of Christ is what we're talking about. The physical Christ is not so essential. In fact, many of the temporary Christians expect Jesus to come back and intervene and solve the world's problems and their personal problems. In other words, they're waiting for him to return and resolve all the problems. How many problems do we have in the world today? Tremendous amount. How many problems does each person have? Tremendous amount in general. He said, I am not coming back and solving your problem. You people on the earth have created this. You solve your problem. I'm not going to solve your problem. I've given you the lessons. I've given you my wisdom. I've told you that we all one. And with that knowledge and the amount of knowledge I've already given you, you can now easily solve your own problems as well as solving the problems of the world. So that's what I'd like to say. I don't know if that helps, but that's how I understand it.
I wanted to make one comment, and that is I've read a number of times that the negative is planning to use that prophecy of Jesus of returning in the clouds by projecting holograms. And you go on YouTube, you'll see that they do project. There are holograms that are obviously projected, I think are projected, in the clouds, in the sky, designed to throw people off. So if you see Jesus in the clouds, don't assume it's the real deal. I test everything. If you notice, something comes to me, if it's real, I don't have to chase it and say it's real. I check it over time and over time, and I take what resonates. And you guys are on the calls. You watch my process. So the thing about it is, if suddenly there's a Jesus or something that says it's Jesus, and it's like you should feel the Christ of energy. You should feel the unity consciousness. And don't just defer to it because it says something. Check it out. Test it over time. And if it is what it is, it'll prove itself. It took me years, 3 or 4 years, to believe that, hey, I think I'm really talking to the Elohim. And they never said, defer to us, believe in us. They just told me to ask some questions. And through the questions I asked, I couldn't imagine how someone else could answer those questions. And it didn't have to be perfect all the time, and sometimes it wasn't. But as a general trend, it was pretty good. And another thing, Terry, you know, when you talk about Jesus and him saying that he set an example and we have to take care of ourselves. Yeah. Now, I've asked you this question, and I think it would be good for you to share it because, you know, Terry is, you know, somewhat disabled. He's in a wheelchair. And when he addressed Jesus and said, can't you fix? Is it okay for me to say this, Terry? I think it
well,
is.
Well, okay? Other than I did in my personal life.
Okay, I won't say it then. Okay.
Yeah.
But all I'm going to say, but let me just say in general, just like the Elohim have said that they're not going to, if they can't lift karma from you because you'll just bring it right back until you shift your own pattern.
Yeah.
So if a force outside of yourself can do something, it may make a temporary impact. But if you have not solved it inside yourself, you're going to bring it back again. And I believe the same thing is true with Jesus.
Well, I think that's very true. That's very true.
Yeah.
That is the key. You don't need anything external to cure any problem. If you worked on your inner self and got your inner self balanced and corrected and free of all the negative energy, you wouldn't have to depend on anything external. You could handle everything within yourself.
But you know what? I would add something to that, because when you say external and internal, you're creating a duality, and that something external can help you if you become one with it. If it's available to become one with you, and you can get into that flow. It's just like, otherwise we wouldn't have group prayer. We wouldn't, a group of people that tap into the Christed energy are, they're all external to each other, but yet they're not external because they're becoming one.
Well,
so,
as a medical doctor, of course. I use it all the time with my patients. They get sick, I give them an antibiotic. They need surgery, I help them with their surgery. That is what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you are totally balanced within yourself, you do not need anything external to you. Everything is already within you. You have all the answers within you. That's all I'm saying.
Well, what I'm saying is what's external is also within you. Okay? You follow? When you can bring within you what's external, the hologram of it, then it becomes, there is no external and internal. And this is just my thought of beyond duality. It's all one. Then you tap in with what becomes within you. See, I've gone through periods of my life where I heard everything is within you, and I would just sit in the room saying, okay, knock, knock, wake up in there. I know it's there. And I had to go through certain experiences to learn to expand what's in me so that it included external. So the idea that there's an external is part of the illusion, okay? It's the giving up your power to the external, it's giving up your power that creates a negative thing. But becoming one with external holograms, now we're going to have dialogue on this. So I think, I'm not going to say any more. Terry, I'll give you the last word.
Even if you have, suppose you have a potassium deficiency, you can do considerably good for you with your mind, with your emotions. You could create additional potassium. You don't have to take it from external source. That's what I'm saying. You could create that potassium. You could cause that to rise in your bloodstream without ever having to take anything external. That's what I'm saying.
Thank you. All right. I am so honored to have you here. And even if we're cantankerous, we don't always have to agree. We probably do agree. If we talk long enough, we get to a point of agreement. But nonetheless, I like to just give all the points of view as I see them, so people can contemplate these things rather than just follow anything, whether it's something I say, the Elohim says, you say, Carla Ruckert says, that we want to create a path of energy and resonance for you to contemplate things. So on that note, thank you all for being here. We ran over, Thank you, BBS, for not having another show on. Thank you very much, Terry, to bless us with your presence and your wisdom. And we'll see you on Sunday. And I'm gonna unmute everybody.
All callers are unmuted.
Happy Old Day.
Thanks, Lynn, Terry, Uncle Terry.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great night.